Lord's Day that the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, the son of David. It contains short little statements that are filled with divine truth and wisdom to instruct us with wise principles for godly living in this world. And as I emphasized or stated last Lord's Day morning, Matthew Henry pointed out that when Solomon began to write the book of Proverbs under the inspiration of the Spirit, he was opening up a new way of teaching. Hitherto the Lord had taught his people by histories, by laws, by types, and by songs. But now he teaches by Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 is probably the best known section in this book. I think some of us have learned it off by heart, learning it in our Sunday school days. It's one of those passages that we should memorize. And I pointed out that it starts with this father's entreaty, "My son." Over 20 times that phrase appears in the book, and 7 times in the first 3 chapters. And it's as if the father, Solomon, is saying to his son, Rehoboam, who would come after him and sit on the throne, he's saying, "My son, I'm giving you advice. I'm giving you wise words. Let me repeat again to the young. You can learn, and you should learn from the elderly, from the older believers." Paul said to the younger women, you're to learn of the older. And Christian men are to be like fathers to the younger. And to the young, don't despise the aged. The aged are not to despise any man's youth if he's saved, but neither are the young to despise the old folk as if they know nothing about modern living or modern life and how you're to get on. No, the young are to learn from the old. And here, the older man, he's now saying to his son, "My son, I have a number of things you need to take on board. There's a number of things I need to share with you. I want you to learn. I want you to understand for the time when you'll come to the throne and you'll rule over men." And he makes these entreaties. "My son, fatherly advice." And I said last Lord's Day that each and every redeemed soul, if you're washed in the blood, you're born again of the Spirit, then God is your Father. He is our Father through faith in Jesus Christ. We are adopted into His family. We are brought into His family through salvation. And therefore, He is our Father. We address Him as such, our Father which art in heaven. And therefore, this exhortation, while Solomon was writing it to his son, Solomon was the pen man. God is the author. And therefore, this is a message from God for all His children. And you have the Father's entreaty for you. And I pointed out last week, there are 4 things in these first 12 verses, 4 subjects regarding the Father's entreaty. And last Lord's Day, we looked at the law of the Lord, verses 1 to 4. "Forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments." First and foremost, get your priorities right. First things first. "Let thine heart keep my commandments." Don't forget my law. But the second topic that there is this father's entreaty is in relation to the leading of the Lord. Verse 5 and 6, they are probably the most well-known verses in this book of Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." These verses deal with the subject of God's leading, God's direction in the lives of His children, individually and collectively. when God's people are faced with difficult, perplexing decisions to make in life, God is willing to lead. He is willing to give guidance, and He will show you the right course. He will show you the right thing to do. He will show you the right path to choose. He will show you the right course to follow. He is the one that leads His people. If this is the most well-known chapter in the book of Proverbs, then the most well-known psalm is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you will know that the Eastern shepherd, he didn't drive the sheep from behind. He led them. I was trying to drive the dog from behind the other morning. It was quite wet, and I opened the back door, and I got in behind him, and my foot was in behind him. And his back arched, and he didn't want to go out. And well, I'm going to confess, I just had to force him out. But I was thinking about it in relation to this sermon. And he's not a bad wee dog. And I thought to myself, you know, and I put it to the test in the following days. The following day, I just opened the back door, and I walked out the back door, and the dog followed me. Then I walked in and shut the door and left him out. So, see, when we drive, at times the individuals don't want to go when you're trying to drive them on. My wee dog, he didn't want to go out, and he arched the back. When I just walked out, he just followed me. Well, that was like the shepherd, and the shepherd, he went before the sheep, and he called them, and they just followed him. And the Lord Jesus, He is the good shepherd and the great shepherd, and He goes before, and as His sheep, we follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd. And what did He say in the verses that follow, or what did the psalmist say? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He's the shepherd who leads His people. And what these verses are teaching us is that the Lord leads, guides, and directs. He shall direct thy paths. And Solomon is saying to his son, and God is saying to you, I'm one that will lead you. I'm one that will guide you. I'm one that you can follow. And yet in this great subject, there are four truths I want to try and briefly set before you as we look at these verses specifically. I want you to notice in the great subject of guidance, there's a problem that is common. A problem that is common. Look at the last part of verse 5. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You see the word lean? It literally means to rest, or to trust in, or to rely upon. And the word picture would be of a weary traveler that's leaning on their guide. There's a picture of it in Song of Solomon, where the bride is leaning, coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. If you can picture maybe an injured sports player, and they're on the field of play, and they've got an injury, and the injury's so bad they can't continue. They get off the pitch, they'll maybe put their arm around the physio or the coach, and they're leaning their weight upon the other individual to get off the pitch and on to maybe a seat or a chair or a stretcher to get treatment. That's the idea of this word. It's leaning, it's putting your weight on something. And the Lord is saying, you're not to lean, you're not to trust, you're not to rely, you're not to put your weight upon your own understanding. You see, when we come to make decisions in life, so often the believer will come and we'll assess and we'll ponder the dilemma we face, and we start to think it through with human reasoning, with earthly wisdom. And we put all our earthly reasoning and our human wisdom together, and we say, this is what we should do, and this is the path we should take. And we fail to acknowledge the Lord, and in making our decisions based on earthly wisdom and human reasoning, we often and so often make mistakes. And I'm saying to you, the Lord's saying not to do it. When you have a decision, a major decision to make, that you need guidance from the Lord over, don't lean on your own understanding. And I'm saying to you, it's a common problem, even among God's people. They will consider, they'll reason something out, they maybe even talk about it to a friend, a Christian friend, and they'll talk it all through, but they're employing human reasoning and human wisdom, and it's common among God's people. Can I say it's common among the best of God's people? It's something that has gone on from ever the fall of man, but some of the best of saints, they came to a point in their life that a decision to make, and they leaned on their own understanding and they got it wrong. And turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. How the best of God's saints can make decisions based on their own understanding and they get it wrong, terribly wrong. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1, the Lord rebuked Samuel. Samuel was a mighty man. He was a man that took Israel from the ruin of Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. And he took them from Ichabod to revival. Hitherto had the Lord helped us. He was one of the greats among the people of God. And he mourned and he lamented over Saul. And the Lord rebuked him. He said, Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Do you notice something there? The Lord didn't reveal everything to Samuel straight away. Sometimes he reveals his will in stages. And he gave Samuel a little bit of information. He said, there's going to be a new king from among the sons of Jesse. Go you down there. He didn't tell him who it was. And sometimes the Lord doesn't give us the whole picture in one go. Sometimes he'll give us guidance to go so far. And when we get there, then he gives us a little bit more. And Samuel was obedient. Oh, he filled his horn with oil. He came down to Jesse's house. He asked for his sons to come before him. And look at verse 6. It came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab and he said, brought Eliab the oldest and he brought him before him. And notice words, surely. Here's Samuel, the prophet of the Lord who led Israel from ruin to revival. And he's now seeking to anoint a new king for Israel. And he looks at Eliab, and he's a big statured man, and he's in the army of Saul. And he says, surely this is he. He was sure. He's wrong. The best of God's saints. And he's employing his own earthly reasoning and wisdom. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Now, this verse has nothing to do with how you dress to go to church. You'll hear many, many people saying, and I'm verging and going way off the subject here, but I'm just mentioning it in passing. This verse is often used to say it doesn't matter how you dress to come before the Lord in God's house. God doesn't look in the outward appearance. God looks in the heart. Absolutely nothing to do with how you dress for God's house. Samuel was making a judgment on the suitability of Eliab to be king. Was he chosen of God for that particular role? He was looking, he saw the big, fit soldier, part of Saul's army, and he thought, this must be the man. The Lord said, don't look on his countenance. Don't look on his outward appearance. God looks on the heart, and God was choosing David, the wee shepherd boy, the youngest in the family. But I'm highlighting to you, Samuel looked on the outward. He employed human reasoning, and he got it wrong. He leaned on his own understanding, and the Lord had to show him he was wrong, that it was David that was the Lord's chosen. If you turn over, there's another example. Let me show you 2 Samuel. Turn over to 2 Samuel and the chapter 7, I believe it is. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and here we have the example of Nathan. Who was Nathan? He was a prophet of the Lord. Man in touch with God. A man that ministered to the king. Man that rebuked David for his sin. A man that was brave enough and courageous enough. who feared to go and expose David's sin. But the Lord gave him the courage, and he went and he exposed and rebuked David's sin. And now another situation has arisen. And look at verse 2 and 3. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." You know what David's saying there? I dwell in a beautiful palace, and the tabernacle of the Lord, it's still a tent. And I want to build the Lord a tabernacle. And here's Nathan, and he's the prophet of the Lord. Man in touch with God. And without thinking, and how often can God's people do the same? Something comes to them, and without thinking, without seeking the Lord, they just give an answer. That's what Nathan did. Verse 3 says, "And Nathan said to the king, Go and do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Do you notice that? He says, the Lord is with thee. He's leaning on his own understanding. David, that sounds a wonderful plan. Your reasoning is right. The tabernacles, the ark's in a tent. It should have a permanent structure. Go and do all's in your heart and the Lord will be with thee. But it was his own understanding and he was wrong. Verse 4, it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, "Go tell thy servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in?" If you look down to verse 13, you'll see that he's told his son Solomon, "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." The Lord forbade David for building the house because he was the man of blood, and Solomon, the man of peace, would build the temple off the Lord. But Nathan, in that moment, he got it wrong. May have been the right plan, but it was the wrong time. And I'm saying to you, when you need guidance, don't make the mistake of leaning on your own understanding, but rather take the matter to the Lord in prayer. That brings me to my second point, really, because if you go back to Proverbs 3 and 5, you'll see that there's not only a problem that is common, leaning on your own understanding, and you're not to do it. Lean not under thine own understanding. But here's secondly a procedure that is commended. In all thy ways, verse 6, acknowledge him. You'll notice the scope of this statement. In all thy ways, in each decision that you need to take, each decision, each circumstance that affects your walk with God, your worship for the Lord, your work and your service for the Lord, acknowledge him. Lay it before him. When you feel the need for guidance and for leading, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. I want to particularly emphasize that word acknowledge, because it really has a reference to prayer. It's a reference to two things, prayer and the word. But let me show you, when you're looking guidance, it undoubtedly has a reference to prayer. We are to bring the need for guidance to the Lord in prayer. I'm thinking of a number of verses in the Psalms that prove and show this. Psalm number 5 and the verse 8. Here's a prayer of the psalmist. "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." What a wonderful prayer that is. The enemies of David had encompassed him. The enemies of David were oppressing him. And he wasn't sure what way to go for to be in the right way. And what does he do? Does he call his generals together? Does he ask their thinking and what would be the best plan to overcome their enemies? No, he brings it to the Lord and he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, make thy way straight before my face. Lord, make the way straight that I can see the way in which that I should go. And in acknowledging the Lord, it is a reference to prayer. Turn over Psalm 31 and verse 3, another verse that shows you this. Acknowledging the Lord is referring to prayer and for the guidance of the Lord. Psalm 31 and verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Lord, you're my defense. You're my strength. You're my shield, as it were. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, now notice this, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. The name of the Lord is at stake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And if we begin to walk in the paths of unrighteousness, then the Lord's name is brought down. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, for your name's sake, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, for his honor, for his glory. And now the psalmist is turning that around and he's using it to reason with the Lord. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to show me the way in which I should go. Lead me. Guide me for thy name's sake. There's another specific, more specific example showing you that when we are seeking guidance, we should acknowledge the Lord and bring it before the Lord in prayer. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 20 and the verse 12. This is a well-known verse of Scripture in the life of Jehoshaphat, the king, 2 Chronicles 20, and the verse 12. And you'll see in this verse, the king, he doesn't know what to do. Maybe you find yourself in a situation, you don't know what to do. There's a situation coming up. There's a situation that's about to rise. There's a situation you know is just about to happen and you don't know what to do. Well, Jehoshaphat was in such a situation. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? That is the enemy. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Lord, I'm in a situation and I don't know what to do. And he's confessing it to the Lord in prayer. You know, that's what you should do when you are in a situation and you don't know. You're not sure. Well, don't be too proud to admit it. Acknowledge it to the Lord. Tell him that you don't know what to do. But then Jehoshaphat says this, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we are looking to thee. I'm looking to you to show me the answer, to show me what I should do. Here is an acknowledging of God. It's a procedure that's commanded. And when you are seeking guidance, bring it before the Lord in prayer. Be honest about it. And if you don't know the right path to take, tell the Lord and tell him you're waiting on him. But I have to go on and say that not only is this phrase to acknowledge the Lord, not only is there a reference to prayer, but there is a reference to God's Word. The word acknowledge is the Hebrew word yada, and it literally means to know. You can read the verse that way. In all thy ways know him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways know him, and he shall direct thy paths. And how do you get to know the Lord? And how do you get to know the Lord's will and the Lord's ways? Well, the Shorter Catechism gives us a very biblical answer. It says, the Scriptures teach us what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. You'll get to know the Lord through his word. And as you read the word, you'll get to know his will for your life. Proverbs 6 and 23, the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reminds us of what the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And in this dark world, and when the believer sometimes walks in darkness, get the word of God out. You should be reading it daily. But as we get to know the Word of God, it's the lamp that lightens the way for us and shows us the way that we should go. It's the lamp to guide in the darkness. You see, there are times we need to seek God's will and God's leading in particular matters. There's other times we don't really need to bring the matter to God in prayer, because God's Word teaches us the way we should go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't need to pray whether they should bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, because they knew from God's Word, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or the earth beneath, is in the water under the earth." They knew God's Word, and they knew it wasn't God's will to bow down to the idol, so they refused to do it. They knew that God was leading them not to do it, because God's Word taught them that. Daniel didn't have to go and read the Bible to know that he should stop praying, because God's Word teaches us that we should call upon Him. We should pray unto Him. And so when the king gave the decree not to pray, just opened the windows and he prayed towards Jerusalem, as had been his custom beforehand. And as we read God's Word, we see the general principles in life to lead us and guide us through. And then when there's something and we don't know what to do, as we read God's Word and as we pray, the Lord will show us the answer. He'll show us the answer from His Word. That leads me to my third point. We've considered a problem that is common and a procedure that is commended, but I want you to notice a promise that is confirmed. Look at the end of verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." It does not say He might direct thy paths, or sometimes He will direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. And note the connecting word, "and." "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." And that connects it to what has gone before. The promise is based on the fact that when you acknowledge the Lord and you're seeking Him for guidance, He shall direct thy paths. Can I just say, on a personal note and level, I have at certain times in my Christian life and experience, this is a verse I've often prayed over. I can think of seeking guidance when I wanted to be sure, was going to Bible college to prepare for Christian service, the right thing to do. And I prayed over this verse. "He shall direct thy paths." Lord, I'm acknowledging You. I need You to direct my paths. You've promised that You will. When I had a wife and a little 10-week-old son, and I was feeling the Lord leading me to Scotland to commence ministry, I prayed over this verse. "Lord, You've said You shall direct our paths. Is this the right move at the right time?" When we were coming home from Scotland to minister in Antrim, when we were leaving Antrim to come to Portadown, these were verses that I prayed over, putting the promise to God. "Lord, You've promised if I acknowledge You, You shall direct my paths." We can go to God in confidence, in prayer, that He has promised. When we acknowledge Him, He will guide us and direct us in the right way. And He did it for His servants. I'll just give you one example, for time is moving on, but turn back to Genesis 24. This is a lovely one. Abram's servant. And in verse 12 and 14, Abram sent his servant on a mission to get a wife for his son Isaac. And what did his servant do in verses 12 and 14? He prayed about the matter. He said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." Look at verse 13. "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee,' that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. He's praying about the matter. Lord, who is this wife for Isaac? Show it to me. Reveal it to me in a specific way. Look at verse 27. He's speaking now to Rebekah's father. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Saying, I committed the matter to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord led me. He acknowledged the Lord in his ways. Lord, I have to get a wife for my master's son. I don't know who it is. I need you to show me. I need you to lead me. And he prayed about it. And God answered. And he showed him. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He showed me that it's Rebekah. He shall direct thy paths. And as he did it for Abram's servant, he did it for Paul. If we had time, we could look at an example from Paul in the New Testament. We could look at an example from the psalmist in Psalm 107. But as he led in answer to prayer, these servants of his, he'll do it for you. There's a promise that is confirmed. It's certain. And therefore, in closing this morning, my fourth thought is this. There's a position that is comforting. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the position the child of God can take in life. You can trust. You can rest in the Lord with all your heart. That if you acknowledge Him, He will lead you and guide you right. You see that phrase, with all thine heart? It's used in a similar setting in Acts 8:37. I'll not turn to it, but I'll tell you the context in closing. Remember that Philip was sent to the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian was converted in the chariot, as Philip read and explained Isaiah 53 to him, the lamb slain. You're trusting in the lamb for salvation. The Ethiopian, he trusted in the Lord. And then he came to water. He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, if you've believed in salvation, if all your heart is resting and trusting in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and He's your Savior, you may be baptized. And he took him down into the water and he baptized him. Friends, you can rely on the Lord to lead you and guide you as confidently as you have relied on the Lord to save your soul. When we trust in Him with all our heart for our soul's salvation, He'll never let us perish. He'll never let us go. And you can trust in Him with all your heart, not only for your soul's salvation, but to meet all your needs. And to lead you and guide you in life. For if he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We've had the Father's exhortation about the law of the Lord. We've got to get it in the right order. Don't expect the Lord to lead you if you're not living in accordance with the law of the Lord. The order is clear. My son, he exhorts him. Don't forget the law of the Lord. Let thine heart keep my commandments. He exhorts him in relation to the law. Are you living your life in the Spirit and in keeping with the law of the Lord? And then he exhorts him in relation to the leading of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Next week we'll come to the next little section. It deals with the lot of the Lord, the portion of the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We're going to sing in closing.